You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent Emma Hutchins, and today I'm joined in the studio by Janisha Slaughter of The Facing Project.
Thanks for sitting down with me.
Give us some background about the work that you do and what that looks like here.
Perfect. The Facing Project is actually a national effort, and its tagline is "Every community has a story, so what's yours?" And so what it does is it's trying to build community and address really pertinent issues through storytelling. So I think Asheville's on everyone's radar right now. It's always on top 10 list, but it just ended up on a really bad one. Second fastest gentrifying city. So I think that the conversation about affordable housing has been really on everyone's minds right now, politicians and residents. So what the Facing Project aims to do is to take a really ground up look at issues and how they're affecting people, and to look at those stories to find out where the solutions are. So first it starts by recruiting community members and figures out their stories of either living through or fighting an issue. And then it partners them with writers. And then those writers write firsthand narratives from the interviews and from the conversations with the community member. And then it's passed on to performers who perform the stories that were written by our writers. So we recruited community members around Asheville from various levels, whether it's like researchers or residents or activists who are doing work around the issue of affordable housing here in Asheville. And we partnered them with UNC Asheville students who wrote out these stories and met with them at the Eddington Center in South Slope, Asheville. And now we are kind of getting those stories cut together so we can have a performance and dialogue that'll be coming up April 13th.
So this is something that's coming out of UNC Asheville. Maybe you can talk more about your role and how this came about as a project coming from the university.
So as a part of the Campus Compact, which is just a bunch of universities are in this, we got a grant to participate in this project because UNC Asheville is working towards a community engagement model. So I'm a program coordinator for our service learning department, the Key Center. So what I was responsible for doing was doing all of the steps that I just mentioned to you, which is recruiting the community members, writers, and performers, connecting them to get these stories. And then these stories get turned to the performance. The performance is kind of like segues us into a dialogue, but then the stories are also compiled onto a book. So as the program coordinator for this, I have been handling all those steps of recruitment, cutting and editing of the stories, and putting on the performance. My job is just kind of getting people connected and letting the magic unfold from there.
That sounds like a huge project to put together.
I gotta say, I agree.
So what do you see some of the next steps of coming out of this project to be?
One important step that we really want to come out of this is we really want the policymakers in the same room with the people who've been affected by the policies. So we feel like the conversation that's happening at the project is one of the next steps, but it's going to have to be a series of conversations. So we need to be figuring out, well, who are we talking about when we talk about this new housing unit is going to benefit people? Or who are we talking about when we say that this policy is going to bring in new revenue and bring in new people and bring in new business? Who are we bringing in? And as in turn, who are we pushing out? So we want conversations centered around that.
Are there obvious community partnerships that are coming out of this first version of the project?
From a service learning program coordinator at UNC Asheville, I think the partnerships we're really hoping that come out of this is a student community relationship that feels sustainable and actually feels of substance. So we want to make sure that we are getting these students talking and listening to the people who are doing this work and are hearing their input, and that they're actually continuing staying in contact with these people, and that they continue listening to what they have to say and trying to figure out how to create a mutual relationship between students learning from community members and the community members getting resources that the university specifically has, and making sure that this exchange continues and only amplifies from here. So at this point, we have students that got exposed to the housing crisis for the first time in their life and got to learn about urban renewal and gentrification and all of these other topics and policies. So that was what the students got out of it. And we're hoping that our community members got a different platform to speak on this issue, with the university's name being tied into it, with the name of a national project being tied into it. How does that amplify their voice so we can further listen to what they think the solutions are? So I think that's kind of what we want to continue to come out of the university, is this building each other up, not this one-way relationship.
I recently attended a fundraiser where local actors performed the stories of real people And some of those stories were traumatic. They were hard to tell and hard to listen to. And I realized that some of the weight was removed, that pressure that would have been on the person whose story that was, the fact that they didn't have to tell it and still people were able to learn from it and hear it felt really powerful. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts about, you know, the separation between the story holder and the storyteller as being something that's beneficial in this case.
Yeah, it is really beneficial to have that separation for all the reasons you just mentioned. And then I think that there's also comes a lot of issues with it, and that's kind of the really fun character building part of this project is what happens when you have UNC Asheville students who are at certain points and at certain privileges that maybe the people who they're talking to are not at. So of course it can become really problematic really fast to write a story for someone who doesn't look like you from their perspective. But on the other end, it's a really self-building project in that you get to put yourself in someone else's shoes really wholly and have to really kind of critically analyze the situation and figure out, well, I would never have had to think like this if I wasn't put into these shoes. So I think that that is something that we get from a project like this, is that it allows the performers and the writers to be somewhere they've never been, and it builds an empathy that I don't think you could get in any other thing but theater. And I think that it also allows that separation of space for the people who are giving back these stories, because there is a lot of pain when you're talking about urban renewal and gentrification in Asheville and being pushed out and having your family home be torn down or have your family business turn into a gravel lot. I think that that is something really traumatic to have to live through. And so to have that space is really, really important. But also these stories get to get cemented within the book and within this performance. So I think that this is a really cool model in that way. And I think that's why it's been so successful.
Do you know why it's called the Facing Project?
Because you're facing an issue and you got to do it head on, and you get to do it face to face. And that's through the interviews, when you're face to face with someone who's facing an issue you've never thought you'd never even thought about for some people, or never thought you'd have to face. And then it's the performance, when a whole audience of people gets to look into someone's life and see the face of someone who's going through these stories. And then it's just like the whole abstract facing the issue, and just like, we can't step away from affordable housing and the way that it's becoming a really dire crisis here in Asheville. So it's time to kind of take it on face to face.
Do you have a story that you'd be willing to share with us of something that has happened in this process that maybe was interesting to you, or if you learned something from?
I consulted one of our local activists that we have here in Asheville, an artist, Dwayne Barton, about how I should approach this project, because I feel like storytelling is something that a lot of people are doing right now. So I wanted to figure out what needs to be done in conducting these stories to do it right, to do this project justice, and to do the stories of these folks justice. And he said that too many times we're going into communities and we're just trying to get them to relive traumas. And after that, we take these traumatic stories, turn them into UNCA papers or whatever, and then nothing comes out of it. So how do we not make this a traumatic memoir, and how do we make this engaging with the community? And that's kind of been very central to how I've gone about this project since that conversation. So instead of a story of hopelessness, the story of hope is kind of what we're going with. So we've been talking to people and focusing really on solutions as opposed to the problem. So there are some stories that are definitely like, this is what has happened as a result of some of the policies that have gone on and been passed here in Asheville, and what people have lived through because of the urban renewal and the gentrification that's happening now. But more so, we focused on what they're doing to fight it. So we have someone who's in a mobile home co-op, and I think that was like one of the coolest stories of people owning the land that they're on and taking that full autonomy over that. So we're looking at solutions like that. Someone also proposed income-based housing. Someone else was proposing that maybe we should put businesses within the places that people are living, where we're thinking of building housing, so that way people have the income to be able to subsidize their living quarters. So yeah, this whole focus on building the better Asheville we want to see, as opposed to just regurgitating all those really tense and bad feelings that come out of it when you talk about housing here.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what they can expect from the performance that's coming up?
Yeah, so as opposed to just being a sit back and you ingest the stories and then reflect on them afterwards, the performance is going to be based so that the stories are a spark for dialogue. So we're going to intersperse all of the stories with moments for conversation. So when we talk about the story of someone who compares their experience living in Charlotte and Hope For and what's going on here in Asheville, let's talk about those conversations of like gentrification as it's happening across North Carolina and who's being taken into consideration when we're talking about renewal and we're talking about policies that are progressive and meant to help people. Who is it helping and at whose cost? We want to have that conversation. We want to have the conversation of who's at the table when these policies are being made and who's at the center of the effects of these. We also want to talk about solutions and who are we putting the money in the hands of to find these solutions. Because I feel like the people who are most affected by this have consistently not been at the head of finding the solutions. This project is really trying to take a grounds-up approach to that. So I think that people should come prepared to listen and be really, really open to hearing some things that you may not want to hear, and also come ready to really try to find the solutions that we need and figure out what we need to do to put solutions in the hands of the people who have been at the head of this problem.
If people want to learn more about this project as well as the upcoming performance here locally, where would you direct them?
So, of course, they can always check out thefacingproject.com for the general model and to see how it's been done in other states and cities. I think Atlanta's facing sex trafficking. This year, facing immigration has been what a lot of schools and cities have focused on. So there's some blog stories about that. So thefacingproject.com is a way to check out what's going on the national level. In terms of us, you can always check out the Key Center website at unca.edu if they just want to figure out a little bit more about what the project is doing at UNCA, and to also find my contact email if they're interested in learning out a little bit more about the project.
Great. And just one more time, the when and where of the performance.
Yeah. So the project will be performed April 13th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the YMI Cultural Center downtown.
Well, Janisha, thank you so much for the work that you're doing here in the community and for sitting down with me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Emma.